Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. The time is now 6:04 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:04 p.m. on the West Coast. And wherever you're listening, anywhere in the world, it's 04. I can't say exactly what hour, but is that hour 04? Hello, my name is Michael Gay. I'm your host for this hour, or these 2 hours. Broadcasting here, and thank you for tuning in. The chat room is open. If you have any questions or comments, if you're kind of like, you know, nervous about calling into the show, that's okay. You can go ahead and post your questions or comments during the broadcast. Like I said, we're on air for 2 hours, and if you want to call in, if you're listening on the internet, excuse me, I'm sorry, but you can call the number 516-531-9861. That's 516-531-9861. Wow. 1 week away from Christmas, the holiday we wait for every year. We look forward to every year. And I want to get into a few things about Christmas at the beginning of the show and some at the end of the show. And then in between, we have some topics that we're going to talk about, some stories we're going to talk about that I find very interesting because, as some of you know, I'm really into law enforcement. Not saying I support everything law enforcement does, but I'm into the stories, court cases and stuff like that. I don't watch the TV shows like NCI, you know, and all that type of crap because they solve the case within an hour. But real life, true crime is really interesting to me because It's real. It's not a a drama or a movie. It's real. And so we're going to get into that. Also, we're going to revisit where we're almost at the anniversary of the January 6th situation in Washington, D.C., and some of the things behind the scenes. We're going to discuss some of that. That now a lot of folks who said a person that pleads the fifth, Donald Trump said it, is guilty automatically. So we look at all these people who are pleading the fifth now, a year later. And then also we're going to look at some of the stories around the country, because there's a lot of things, which there's a lot of court cases. Many of you might know about the case that occurred in Minnesota right when the George Floyd trial was going on, of the shooting, the death, some say the murder of Deontay Wright by Officer Potter, who allegedly accidentally pulled her service weapon and not the taser. Well, this week it rests. Now the case is going to be turned over to the jury. The judge is going to give them instructions, and the accusation and the defense will have their closing arguments. This, to me, is a very interesting case, because during the show today, I'm going to bring up some cases, some situations where some people have been sentenced, some very long terms, for negligence. And in this case, it was the negligence of this officer. Now, I'm going to open up the mics to my co-hosts and many of you who are here on the board, and I appreciate you joining in and chiming in. But the key thing I want to look at is this. And as we follow these cases, what's the difference between negligence, or should I say, should negligence be excused? Because that's the case right now with this officer. Her negligence, the defense is trying to say, hey, it was just an accident. Some lawyers have been saying it was an accident. Anybody can make a mistake. But you can't make a mistake when you take someone's life. You just can't. Because I think some of you guys saw where we posted the story of the truck driver who was sentenced 110 years, where he took four lives based on his negligence. Think about it. And as we go over those topics. Right now, I want to open up the mic to, of course, the lady of the house, the one and only, Miss Janet Davis. How are you doing, Janet?
Great, Michael. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. I'm excited about talking about these things. And I think it's really interesting that, you know, we kind of like pinpoint and understand, because I always say that, you know, when I do these shows, I learn a lot from other folks who chime in. I don't claim to know everything, but I look at things and I'm like, you know, questioning it and want to know what other people think about it, because that's what's important. What's your point of view? There's some folks who'd be like, well, you know, this way or that way. But it's good to know how people think about those situations. And how would you handle it if you were in it? You know what I mean?
Right. The show does give people a chance to tell their perspective on how they feel about certain situations. And it's not just one side. It's from any and everybody who wants to call in and just talk, give their point of view, or just listen. You know, so.
And that's what we do, right, every Saturday, you know. And like you know, I've always said, whenever we do a flyer, for some of you guys that are listening, whenever we do a flyer, and Janet does all the flyers and all the information on the show, I've always stressed to her, put it in a question form. Put it in a question form. And in other words, asking you, what's your thought about it? It's an open-ended question, or you know what I mean? It's not a closed thing. It's open-ended. because you have the right to share your opinion. I just opened up the mic to, of course, another great co-host. Love this brother. All the way from Los Angeles, California. Please welcome Mr.
Hey.
Timon.
Hello,
Timon.
Hey, Mike, Janet, how you guys doing? Merry Christmas and all that good stuff.
Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on here. Shoot, I'm shocked.
Well,
Mike,
hopefully
with all
we can
this.
Get to it all.
What's that?
I'm sorry. I said I hopefully can get to all of it, but we probably won't get to all of it. But yeah, we got a full plate, just like
well,
you
Mike,
do on Thanksgiving.
I was gonna say you forgot the serial killer.
What?
You know, there's a serial killer. I'm sitting there going, well, shoot, we got COVID, and we got all this. You know, these trials, and then somebody say, oh, yeah, we got a serial killer. I was like, man, why is there a serial killer out? You know, did we need to add him in? This blew me away when I heard that. So I'm like, wow. You know, even serial killer wants some attention now, too. So I thought that everybody was, yeah, we ain't even heard of a serial killer in a long time, have we?
No.
Yeah. But you know what? This is the right timing for a serial killer because everybody was worried about COVID being the serial killer. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
They thought everything else ended. They thought that the world was just sitting on pins and needles. And keep in mind, you guys, a lot of domestic violence occurred during COVID, and some killings.
Yeah. Now,
just because everybody was locked up didn't mean that. Right, you're right. Just because you were locked up didn't mean that people weren't still killing each other.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
But, you know, folks getting
it
on each other's nerves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was looking at an article on that, and it's just amazing how domestic violence and all that type of stuff within the home between husbands and wives, not just girlfriends and boyfriends, but even married couples, got to the point of plotting to kill each other during the COVID pandemic.
I'm always to me, Mike, just leave. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
If it's that bad here for you, pack your crap and get out. I ain't going to jail. Because let me tell you, when you make that decision, because all it takes is one. You can cancel Christmas. Your ass is damn sure because you get caught. You're getting ready to do time.
Mm-hmm.
Long time, baby. And, hey, you're going to miss all that privacy that you had. You're going to miss sleeping in that bed with that angry person. You're going to be, now you sharing the whole thing with Pookie and Ray Ray. So I don't understand it.
Pookie and Ray Ray.
Yeah. You know.
We're all under a lot of pressure, but go get some air, bro. Go get some air, take a walk.
You know, there's always
right.
a way to deal with something better than trying to kill somebody because you ain't like you went to school for it. You just can't go up and say, what are you going to do? You know, I'm going to kill my wife. Did you train for this? Usually when we go to do something, we at least got some type of training in it, you know. But all of a sudden, you know, you think you can just start killing folks and you ain't going to get caught.
And get away, right, right. Well, let me go ahead and jump into our first topic of the evening because, you know, we're almost at the, I don't want to say the anniversary, but it is the anniversary of the January 6th insurrection that occurred where, and I'm just going to be blunt, Donald Trump had his rally. Felt like he was being betrayed by the Vice President of the United States. And yes, betrayal is a term that he used. You know, it's almost been a year. And then you look at the individuals who have been convicted. Over 700 people have been convicted of a crime of some sort on that day. Gentlemen, I have to pull up that actual case. Has received the most, I guess you can say, the most severe penalty where he will serve 5 years in prison. And his lawyer's excuse was, well, What about the people who put it all together? And he was alluding to Donald Trump and everything. See, you know, that's what they call a turncoat. He knew what he was doing. Now he wants to say, well, they're saying it was Donald Trump, and I was following his lead and everything. And the judge said, well, Donald Trump is not on trial here. He did not go into the Capitol. You did. We got you on video. Got you. I'm not trying to Donald Trump. You know what I'm saying? So how can you say, well, you know, I'm going to give you a lesser sentence because Donald Trump led you? All right. So I'm going to go back to
We're going to the Capitol. I will be with you. Fight like you've never fought before, like your lives depend
on it. Yeah, it's like that old song. It's like that old song. Going to the Capitol and we're acting like assholes. Going to the Capitol and we're going like assholes. You know, and that's what they did. And now you have to pay the piper. Now you want to blame the piper, the one who blew the whistle, follow like rats. And it's funny when you look at those certain things of where you guys remember, you know, the guy that used to play the flute and get, that's what Donald Trump did. He blew a flute and everybody followed. Okay. So anyway, back to what I was saying. And this is according to CNN. So anybody who says, oh, media lover, you love CNN. I read from everything, but this is a story that I got from CNN. The House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol approved on Wednesday night the report to hold former Department of Justice official Jeffrey Clark in contempt of Congress for defying his subpoena by refusing to answer questions during a recent deposition and failing to hand over documents to the panel. But the panel is also giving Clark another opportunity to appear on Saturday, which is today, in light of a new letter he sent to the committee stating that he intends to claim Fifth Amendment protection. Now, go back. I said earlier, Janet, and correct me if I'm wrong, Donald Trump made a statement when people were turncoats, for lack of a better term, diving on him and everything. And then some would, you know, when they were trying to do this and that, pleading the Fifth, he said, well, anyone who pleads the Fifth is guilty as hell or automatically guilty. But everybody that has been in his camp is pleading the Fifth, am I
right? Right. That's correct.
Every one of them are pleading the Fifth. Stone is pleading the Fifth.
Mark
Meadows gave a 36-page presentation, PowerPoint presentation to the Select Committee, and then he wanted to plead the Fifth after he wrote a book and did all these things and turned all these thousands of pages of documents over. Then he decided he's pleading the Fifth. It's too late now, buddy.
So, Janet, give us a little insight about the PowerPoint presentation for the listeners. What does that mean for everybody involved?
This was right after the election, Donald Trump, and a lot of, I guess, several people that was in the House and, you know, people working for him. They put together a plan to overturn the election in his favor for the several states and everything. So they came up with this. I don't know who did the PowerPoint presentation, but Mark Meadows had it, and he turned it over to the committee. And if you want to read it, it's very enlightening. All you got to do is put in the PowerPoint 36-page presentation for the Select Committee, and it'll pop up. Meadows had that in his possession. And so why would you want to plead the Fifth after you write a book and turn all these things over to the Select Committee? It's too late. You know,
okay,
I guess he was upset with Donald. Mm-hmm.
Let me go forward with the article a little bit, see if we can get a little bit more out of this. But the panel is also giving Clark another opportunity to appear on Saturday in light of a new letter he sent to the committee stating that he intends to claim Fifth Amendment protection. I already read that. Okay. A select committee aide tells CNN that due to Clark getting the new deposition date, the plan is to wait to hold a full House vote on the contempt report until at least after the weekend. If Clark answers the committee's questions, and that's a key thing, if Clark answers the committee's questions by pleading the Fifth Amendment, the panel will likely have to stop the process of holding him in criminal contempt. If Clark continues to stonewall the committee and invoke the Fifth Amendment in ways the committee deems illegitimate, the panel will proceed with a floor vote as soon as next week. Committee Chairman Benny Thompson, a Mississippi Democrat, said in his opening remarks on Wednesday that Clark will be given the opportunity to appear in front of the panel on Saturday for a new deposition in light of him sending a new letter to the committee indicating that he intends to claim Fifth Amendment. Quote, and I'm going to end after this and then I'll follow up later. Quote, even though Mr. Clark previously had the opportunity to make these claims on the record, the select committee will provide him another chance to do so. I have informed Mr. Clark's attorney that I am willing to convene another deposition at which Mr. Clark can assert that privilege on a question-by-question basis, which is what the law requires of someone who asserts the privilege against self-incrimination. Thompson said, we have just learned that Mr. Clark appear again to continue his deposition. All right, I'm going to stop there. Now, Clark has agreed to continue the deposition. So that's kind of like plea bargaining, the way I'm looking at it, right? Mm-hmm. If you agree to go back and continue negotiations or talks, you're looking at probably a plea bargaining. Am I right or wrong? Because he has an option.
You're right.
He can either do it or not.
Yeah.
You agree, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So, but it says that, but Thompson said the committee would proceed with considering the contempt request, and all nine members voted to pass the report out of committee Wednesday night. Following passage in the House chamber, it would get referred to the Justice Department, which would then have to decide whether to prosecute. You guys following me on this one?
Right.
This is getting interesting.
Right.
It's getting interesting. You know, it's something where, I mean, some folks know that their ass is in a ringer. And I do believe that if they make the wrong move, they may implicate someone else, right?
Correct.
All
well,
at the top of this news.
The thing that they're doing, the only problem is because, you know, people are worried, you know, Merrick Garland is just, he's slow walking things because he wants to make sure he gets it right. But it's already been, as the text messages and everything else come down, and all these names come out, there could be criminal situations going down because five people did die.
True.
Also, we got, you know, you got Mark Meadows, you got Stone,
yeah.
They got Sean Hannity and Ingram, given all that info. Just a
and what's
time.
The other guy's name? I'm sorry to interrupt, but what is the guy's name? InfoWars or whatever, the guy, the host of that. What is his name? Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. InfoWars.
Yeah, he believed in them having the Tom Hanks these babies. QAnon man.
Right. So you got all these characters, all these players in this whole thing. But again, it goes back to when Donald Trump made the comment about pleading the fifth, all of these characters in the January 6th, about to be a one-year anniversary, you guys. 1 year. And still, and again, there's no – I mean, there's been 700 people who have been indicted or gone or been charged. Like I said, one individual has dealt with the harshest 5 years in prison. In fact, he cried like a baby, according to a couple of articles. Not one, a couple of articles said he was tearful. He said, you know, he can't believe that was him and everything. And it goes back, and keep in mind when I keep saying this, it goes back to negligence and ignorance at that point in time, right? It goes back to negligence and ignorance. Keep that in mind as we go forward into the show and the topics that we are going to discuss, though, today. But, you know, they say ignorance of the law is no excuse. That's what they tell you. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. You could live out of state and go to another state and break their law. They can tell you, well, you should have studied on our laws before you came over the state line. They could tell you that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Ignorance of the law is no excuse. So we're going to study that a little bit. So let me ask you guys, as it comes to this, and with the whole thing that the committee is doing, for most people, it's almost like it's gone. You know, you don't hear much about it here and there. You know, you hear a little. Janet, I know you stay on top of it. You know, as far as what's going on with the January 6th. Insurrection and what's going on. But there's a lot of people out there who just look at it where, well, that was last year, basically. True enough, it was this year, but we're going into a new year. But they just forget about it and think
or they listen to the talking points on Fox News and believe like it's political and it's just a farce and it's not real, you know, so instead of researching things for themselves. But if you read information or you look at any of these other news channels or read what the articles that's on Googling or on the newspaper, in the newspapers, you will know this is real. Our democracy is under attack still.
Right. But here's the thing. I just want to put it out there and Timon, you know, I mean, I know you always have a point of view and you have a, you know, you seem strong. But here's the thing. Ever since Donald Trump, and you look at the way things are now compared to when Donald Trump was president, and keep in mind, also, we're going into the first one-year term of President Biden. In the 1 year Donald Trump served as president of the United States, there were more protests based on Donald Trump, more violence in the streets during his presidency. I mean, there really was. Now, if anyone can prove me wrong, then please do chime in and let me know. But during the Trump presidency, there was a lot of, you know, shit going on. There was a lot of shit going on, right? And now, since Biden has been president, granted, stuff still goes on, but not to the magnitude that we saw in the 1 year of Donald Trump. Not to that magnitude. So in comparison, is America better now? Because many folks would say it would have been better if Trump had another year or 4 years. But Trump only served, I'm sorry, I said a year. Trump only served 4 years, right? One term.
Right.
Biden's been there, and in his first, in Trump's first year, all hell broke loose and continued. All right. So if you compare the first year of Donald Trump, Biden's first year, that's what I'm trying to get to. What is the comparison? Not saying things got better, but it didn't get worse since Biden has been the president.
I can answer. Biden has done more in the less than a year than Trump has done in the 4 years of his presidency. Most of the things that Trump did was undo the things that Barack Obama had put in place. As far as passing something, it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was Trump's goal to remove everything Barack Obama put in place. That was his goal. We already know that. Because that definitely pleased his base, right, to remove everything that, you know, it was an attack on Barack Obama, you know, and some folks say, well, it wasn't racial. In a sense, it was a combination of both, different policies, different beliefs, and maybe racial, you know. But, yeah,
you
his
know,
whole goal was to remove all that. But, no, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, after reading that 36-page presentation, which they did give the committee a 38-page, I don't know what those other two pages were, but I did look at the 36 pages, and it shows me that they were really trying to get Antifa to come out so they can do this martial law state and take over. But Antifa didn't take the bait. So it ended up being only Trump people, MAGA, and out there, and QAnon doing all the damage. But they thought it was going to be a war going on, that he can do martial law and be able to take over the presidency.
Well,
that's that.
Yes.
Well, Antifa doesn't even exist. They made that up. There's nobody out there. They were doing that. They made up all that crap. When nobody's out there doing the things that they were saying, the fact that
Hold on. Let's put a break on that for a minute. Antifa group did exist, but what they were being accused of was not clarified or was not proven to be fact. Because I saw where there was many individuals who claimed to be Antifa. That group does exist.
Yes.
But what they were being blamed for, they were saying, no, that was not us. Keep in mind, there's tons of videos out there that show groups of people, even during Black Lives Matter rallies, white individuals were caught on video, smashing windows, setting fires, and everything, doing peaceful protests. So the media grabs it and says, there goes Black Lives Matter, there goes Antifa, you know, they're doing all this. See, Fox News never did that type of investigation of do a zoom in of who this is. See, if you go back
I want to finish something real quick,
and you could chime in. You can go back to before all this shit started happening, of where doing certain riots, even the Watts riots, even the riots after the Rodney King verdict, all kinds of riots where there were individuals of a certain sect that would go into these communities and actually, when it was a peaceful protest, and start a riot. But see, what happens is this. Oh, now, for lack of a better term, the villagers got violent. how the hell are you going to go from a peaceful protest to now we want to tear up our own community? It doesn't happen that simply, or it doesn't happen that quickly. There has to be someone who's, and there were people mm-hmm. from the outside, which they will tell you, in many cases, mm-hmm. there's a lot of people from the outside of that community who come in there and start, you know, smash and grab and this and the other. And I'm not excusing folks who do that, you know, in the black community who destroy their own communities. I think that's shameful. That's disrespectful. That's you know, but that's not where on the same level of a person that comes from you know, who wants to make it seem like this peaceful group is just marching and you know, just demanding justice. But unfortunately, we have a blurred line here in the media of who is who. Am I right? So Antifa mm-hmm. does exist, you know, but I don't think they're the ones who are actually, or alone, I should say. There are some groups, I can honestly say, maybe the Proud Boys, maybe many others, who say, hey, you know, we go in there undercover and start some chaos, it's automatically going to be pointed to them, right?
Yeah,
and
that
we'll,
actually happened.
And we will, as the public, we will take the bait and believe it's that group. Now, Janet, you were saying, go ahead.
Well, you kind of answered you kind of put the head on what I was going to say. During one of the protests when Trump was in office, do you remember the people who were in military garb but didn't have any thing showing exactly where they came from, with the helicopters and stuff going down,
right,
coming down on people and attacking them? You know, they were trying
mm-hmm.
to say part of that was Antifa, but I actually think it was the Proud Boys and Trump.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all
I'll
I have on you. I kind of mentioned it.
I'll say
all
again.
Right. Sure.
Antifa was never there the way Trump and those guys were talking. Okay,
no.
There were people going behind Black Lives Matter breaking stuff. When you're protesting, you can't call somebody Antifa because they're protesting.
Amen.
Protesting
right.
was fine. Okay. But what they were doing were going behind them and tearing, like when that black girl called that white girl out and said, girl, don't put that up. Don't break that and don't spray that like that. They're going to blame us for that.
Yeah, I saw that
okay?
video, right. Yep, I saw
mm-hmm.
that.
And so you cannot, mm-hmm. you know, when they kept talking about, oh, we believe that there was Antifa mixed in with the Trump group. Why would Antifa go and tear down something that says that's why they're anti-racist, anti-anything that's going against, that's bringing something for people? These people have been getting a pocket pick for years. We didn't create racism, did we?
No.
We didn't create
it. And you're
it,
right.
And now you're mad that it's been got out of hand and you don't know how to deal with it or squash it. And you don't want nobody to say nothing about it. And so now you got all this people living in fear. The same message you've been selling for years. And that's why those people, Trump got all these folks and got them all riled up, told them that the immigrants were coming to take their land and their jobs and, you know, and rape their women and all this whole stuff. And them fools bit. Poor white folks been biting on that type of stuff for years. I told the dude today at another podcast, can you imagine if black people had turned into the Nat Turners of old? We ain't really
mm-hmm.
went out and killed nobody, have we?
Mm-mm.
As much has been done to us, we ain't went out and killed nobody. But yet, they were so fear, and they started lynching people. We had to create laws. We had to put together amendments to stop them from doing what they were doing. And these fools still, to this day, do not want to embrace what's going on. That's why you guys, they're going after abortion, and that's why they're going after your voting rights act. And Trump sold them on all that, and there's nothing you can do. I mean, they don't want to get vaccinated. You got, and they're just buying into all the stuff, But
right.
Tell me, Antifa? Where are the Antifa telling you not to take a vaccine? But the Proud Boys, Joe Rogan telling you not to take the vaccine.
That was talking point that was for that 36 the PowerPoint presentation I was talking about, where they were purposely trying to throw Antifa in there. Even the day of the insurrection, when they were calling Mark Meadows and saying, please tell Trump to call it off, they still got Fox News got up and said that they thought Antifa people were sprinkled through the crowd.
Well, let me ask a question here, though. But as we revisit it, because it's almost going on the anniversary, come January the 6th of 2022, of when the insurrection, and some folks say it was not an insurrection. Some folks still claim it wasn't. But it was a threat on democracy. I mean, here you have the second most powerful person in the United States or in the world, business, being threatened. Let me finish, though. Please. And then I want you to respond, please. But it's been almost a year. Granted, I already mentioned 700 people have seen judges. Those 700, out of the 700, only one received 5 years. So let's think about that. Let's just think about that. 700 people have gone to court and got their sentences or have been indicted or this, that, and the other. But so far, and I have to go back and look, only one received 5 years out of the ones who have gone in front of a judge. But then when you look at, here are people who were trying to overthrow the U.S. government. They went in there to overthrow it. They went in there to attack. You can't tell me that they went in there to sit there and listen to the proceedings. That's bullshit. And Donald Trump said, now put it all together. Said, my vice president betrayed me. No, it's not your vice president. It's the vice president of the United States, not your puppet, but you thought he was, and thought, like you did with everybody else in business and in politics, ever since you've been a businessman and a politician, you look at everybody as a puppet. But that puppet did not move when you pulled his string. He went on with what, and I got to give Pence a lot of respect, because he could have went the other way. He could have agreed with Donald Trump and did what Trump wanted him to do. But he said, no, I'm not going to do it. Maybe that's his religious background. So we have to think about that, too. He could have been a criminal or an accessory to a crime. But still and again, my question is, how is it that Donald Trump is the Teflon Don at this point in time? He still is a Teflon Don. Everybody years ago said, he'll be in prison. He'll be in jail. Oh, they got him now, this, that, and the other. No, they haven't. He's still in Florida. So that's my question. Where is the prosecution? With so much evidence, where is the problem with convicting the former president of the United States? Honestly, this guy is very good. He ain't stupid. He's ignorant, but he ain't stupid. He knows how to cover his tracks. My question is posed to all of you. How is he avoiding being convicted as a criminal?
He's not avoiding, Mike. They ain't got to him yet. They're not done with the investigation.
Thank you.
They know we're all...
Well, I'm saying, but what I'm saying is this. They've been investigating him. No, what I'm saying, though, to be honest, Simon, since his first year, he did a four-year term since his first year. And granted, they could not put charges on him as the president of the United States. Right, they could not. But now we're a year down the road after him being out of office, and it seems like the public has lost interest. That's my point of view. But what is it that where there's nothing that has been presented, concrete evidence that we have something to indict him on? There has been no indictment.
But Mike, you got to finish the evidence. You ain't got all of it.
And
plus, right. Merrick Garland knows he can't screw this up. Okay?
That's right.
So he going to take – Merrick Garland, bruh, is like watching paint dry. All right? He did the same thing with the Oklahoma bomber.
Bomber,
the thing in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
He took his time.
Right.
They going to take their
time. And what about Nixon? They took the time with Nixon. They didn't get to Nixon right away. It went up and up and up until they finally got to him, and he had no choice but to resign. So basically the same thing is happening right now. The walls are closing in. It's just a lot of things we don't know about because they're not letting us know.
See, so we got to, you got to bring, just like you didn't know nothing about them text messages. You didn't know that, and Mark Meadows, that's why you think Meadows is holding up. They're not worried about Bannon. Okay, Bannon walking free too. But it's not the one that you got to worry about the folks when they start putting a squeeze. So you got to get all of your evidence. And then when you present the evidence, why do you think they're so mad at Liz Cheney? Okay? Because Liz is watching this man dismantle the Republican Party. He is destroying their party. He's ripping it apart.
That's right.
And one thing about that poor white boy, he has always allowed the rich white folks to pick his pockets. And they bought into it again by letting a guy like Donald Trump bump their head. 80 million people thought that man got cheated out of that thing. With all the evidence that they had and all the Republican guys who was in charge of the vote and everything, it wasn't enough. They still believe that he won. And all he did, and Mike, he sold them that crap 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
6 months before that they were going to do the election, he started saying, if I don't win, they cheated.
That's right.
And he kept selling.
And right
and
now,
said,
the GOP is paying for Donald Trump's lawyer fees for the Southern District of New York. Now, he's not even president anymore, but they're paying.
$1.6 million.
Yeah, it's these.
Okay.
Money that's supposed to be for
so that's why your boy ain't in jail. He got so much to do. He got to have money to keep him out. It's going to be tough to get him. Why you think he appealed them getting the information? Because he ain't in office no more. That's why Biden said, oh, bro, you can't stop no paperwork. We going through with this.
Mm-hmm.
He can't stop his taxes, stop nothing. I don't care how long it takes. Ain't nothing fast happening in Washington. Homeboy, it's going to start building up. If he don't do time, they're going to bury his business. They're going to put him out of reach where he won't be able to, one, ever run again, and two, they're going to shut his businesses down.
They're going to finally realize the rich boy is not really as rich as he thought. He kept saying he was. That's why he didn't want anybody to know all his information or his taxes, because he's been inflating and deflating.
And one more point, Mike. Everything that he accused Hillary Clinton of, he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Mark Meadows having these servers that said all this so-called email crap. They got it. How do they get all this and then they got emails that are unprotected, but yet you went after Hillary Clinton? Look at they talked about Benghazi. You know, this is worse than Benghazi. They went after their own damn people.
They tried to blackmail Biden with his daughter's diary or journal, whatever you want to call it. You know,
yeah,
they've been doing some real cool stuff. Who does
that? And that person's going to go to jail, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. The whole family is dirty. And that's what has kept people up at night. They want this guy gone. They want politics to be back the way it was. Boring.
Boring.
They want to go back the way it was. This fool then turned our White House into Washington into a reality TV show.
That's right.
All right. And I have to agree, it really has. I mean, because that's what he's known for. He loves the attention, and but fortunately, we haven't heard anything from him. Let me get you guys' opinions on why, real quick, before we switch gears on our topics. Why do you think Donald Trump is? Well, of course, we know that some of his cronies have pleaded the fifth. Why do you think he's so quiet? And how is it possible? You know, because he was never one to be quiet. His administration had to always cover up for a lot of things he would say, and it became questionable, and they would come with an excuse why he made that comment or this, that, and the other. But why do you think he's being so quiet now? Just your personal opinion.
Yeah, he's not quiet because he was knocked off so many social media platforms. That's why we're not hearing as much from him as we have done in the past. It's not that he's quiet, because he's still trying to get out there every chance he gets.
So wait a minute. He
created his own. He still has. He still has.
No, it's 08.
No, go ahead.
Mikey, he's touring with Bill O'Reilly right now.
That's right.
Okay.
And not as many people's coming out like they thought was going to come out.
Okay, so that's the same Bill O'Reilly who was gracefully removed from Fox based on his issues, right? And
right.
We do know what his issues were. The same Bill O'Reilly, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now they're touring. But now, and that goes back to another question, is that here's Bill O'Reilly, who had his issues and everything, was fired from the network, which we all know is a Republican network, Fox News, and he was removed from there. He started his own little thing, just like Donald Trump did, to try to get back to the public. So, but they haven't been successful in that, but they're still out there. I mean, but it's still a threat, as you said, Janet, that even though they're not in the media at the level that they were before, they're still able to get out there, according to what you just said, timing.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that still a threat?
He said, is it still a threat?
Yeah. Do you think that's still a threat, that they still have, you know, followers? And able to
call it a threat, Mike. What you call it is very dangerous of the disinformation that's being sold to these people.
Okay, dangerous.
Yeah,
because
you got, but mind you, you got Matt Gaetz, you got Boebert, you got all these people. He's rounding them up. You know, but it's very scary that these people are buying into. And remember, the insurrection was not poor white people. They were upper middle class and middle class people that stormed that place. Those guys had jobs. A lot of them had jobs. The women had jobs. So, you know, so it's scary that they believe that someone's taking something from them and they're talking all over taking my freedom. You know, that the fact that they're buying into that, that blows me away.
Yeah, just like the Hispanic community, they are so against having a dictator to the point they don't even realize what the Republicans are doing to them. All those false talking points. And they are thinking that that's the best party. They're out for themselves.
Same party that wanted to get them in. Same party that was calling them immigrants and rapists and thieves. Why would you vote for him?
That's right. Because the Republicans is trying to make it look like socialism is like communism when it really isn't. But they dog it out and try to give people the thought that it's so bad to be a socialist. So it's not, don't look
But Janet, they can't call nobody a socialist when you giving major corporations corporations loans and stuff, and they ain't got to pay taxes.
Yep, that dark money. Wow.
I mean, and you know, they need to understand that that's still socialism. How about when we just had the incident with the airport? Okay, where the planes, you know, all the airline companies were having issues. Who gave money? But they can stay afloat.
Right.
That's socialism.
Well, you know what? Right. Well, the thing is that where, you know, I mean, it had to work out that way, unfortunately. But, no, I won't say unfortunately. When we had to bail out the automotive company, Barack Obama and also McCain, I said Klain. Like in the movie Die Hard, but McCain got together, even though they ran against each other later on, but they got together and worked out the bailout for the automotive industry, right? Now, that was a positive thing, right?
I disagree.
You disagree? Okay.
We've had that debate before. Yeah, it was Barack Obama, but it wasn't John McCain. It was Bush and Barack Obama trying to save everybody. McCain was against it.
He was part of the negotiations. He had to eventually, because if I recall correctly, they were both on the campaign trail and they both left their trail to try to help it out, right? To try to work it out. So McCain did have some, you know, input into it on the Republican
side.
I'll send you
that article again, Michael.
Okay.
I think
of where they both, you know, came to an agreement. He did play a role in it, you know, because he was a major voice into the decision. But send me that article. We can discuss that, you know, at a later date. But still, and again, going back to what Tyron said, it was when he said socialism, you know, it was where it was needed. And believe it or not, the American auto industry did thrive. People weren't buying a lot of foreign cars at that point in time. People were buying American-made cars, right? But now we went back to the normal, and now more people are buying foreign cars. But it did save jobs. It did keep a lot of folks employed. Many people still lost their jobs, but thank God a lot of folks didn't lose their jobs. So, I mean, I think that that was a good thing of where, you know, there was some working across the aisle. But send me that article. We could talk about it on another date and get in more detail about it. But I want to kind of like change gears here, because this is what I want to do, because we're almost, I mean, in fact, we're at the 7 o'clock hour and we have an hour left. What I want to look at is court cases. Now, as I said before, I'm not one to watch NC whatever, all these TV shows. You know, back when I was a kid, I was hooked to all these, you know, T.J. Hooker. In fact, before that, I mean, all these crime shows and everything. One day I did something, and this was years ago. I went through a TV guide. For some of you guys who don't know what a TV guide is, it was a publication, a writing that used to come in your mailbox or whatever that told you the schedule of primetime shows, daytime shows and everything, what channel they were on in different time zones. You guys remember TV Guide, okay? You two should. And
you had to subscribe.
You know, subscribe. And it don't exist. I'm sorry?
You had to subscribe to TV Guide. It
right, okay, right.
Free.
Well, I'm saying, but it came in your mailbox. I didn't say free, but right. But if you subscribe to TV Guide, you will get this, and it will tell you exactly what TV shows were coming on, okay? And you had limited channels back then. You didn't have cable and all that type of crap, right, that we have now. But I did a little thing years ago, and I went through TV Guide to see what kind of shows are on, right? Compared to comedy and shows that were, you know, I guess comedy and reality, well, not reality because reality did not exist then, but medical shows, right, okay? Comedy shows were at the top of the list. There were more comedy shows on television. Situation comedies is what they called them. And that was the entertainment every night. You had the movie of the week. You had all kinds of TV shows that were fun shows, right? Now you got cable, internet. You got anything you want to see, movies and everything. This was right before there was Comcast, cable and everything. There were other cable companies, at least in my region, that showed you different types of movies and this and the other, you know, and that was a big shit then. It was like, oh, wow, you got cable. You can watch a movie from home. You ain't got to go to the theater. It was a big deal then. But now you can look at anything you want, view anything you want from the privacy of your own home. But what I've always had an interest in is true crime, true stories, not this made-up shit that's done by a director or a writer. So in the past few weeks, Janet, as you know, and also Timon knows, I've been paying attention to real court cases, which court TV broadcasts straight from the courtroom. I said that so anybody who's tuning in, because I look at reality, not the made-up reality, but the real deal. In the recent months, in many months, I've been watching these court cases that have become national news. We already know about George Floyd, national news. Just this week, federal trial ended. The officer pleaded guilty. What else could he do? He was already found guilty of the death of George Floyd. And now I'm looking at a case of this officer, Potter, who shot and killed Deonte Wright on a traffic violation. We discussed that a little bit last week. So now the jury has, I'm sorry, the prosecution has arrested next week or coming up this week. Closing arguments, the judge's instructions will go to the jury. And I'm kind of worried about what the verdict will be. I am. Because I look at it where, regardless of negligence, You have to be found guilty of negligence, which goes to the story I want to get to. Because regardless, though you didn't mean to do it, you did it, right? Does anybody agree with me?
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't mean to do it, still you did it. As I said, they will tell you, ignorance of the law is no excuse. They will tell you that. A judge will say, well, hey, you know what? You should have known better. You should have known better. All right, so with that being said, and we got about an hour left because I want to get into these other topics. All right, so with that being said, here's a story that caught my eye, and I was like, wow. Colorado truck driver was sentenced to 110 years for a deadly crash. Over 3 million people have signed a petition asking for clemency. A truck driver was sentenced earlier this week to 110 years in prison for a 2019 crash that left 4 people dead and several others injured in Colorado. By Friday, more than 3.4 million people had signed a petition asking Colorado Governor Jared Polis to grant clemency to Rogel Aguilera. I want to say this right. Rogel Aguilera Medeiros, for communication for time served. Heather Gilby, the author of the change.org petition, wrote, "We are not trying to make it seem any less of a tragic accident. That is because, yes, lives were lost. In April 2019, the truck driver was driving lost his brakes," CBS Denver reported. "He passed one of the state's runaway truck ramps as he descended from the mountains, a point the prosecution focuses heavily on during the trial. He then crashed into several cars stopped on eastbound I-70 in Lakewood, sparking a massive fire. The highway was shut down in both directions for roughly 24 hours, according to the station. The crash killed 24-year-old Miguel Angel Lamas, Arellano, 67-year-old William Bailey, 61-year-old Doyle Harrison, and 69-year-old Stanley Politano. Aguilero Mendoras was ultimately convicted of 27 counts, including vehicle homicide. Before he was sentenced, Aguilera told CBS Denver he tried his best to avoid the vehicles stopped on the road, but couldn't avoid them all. Quote, my life is not a happy life. It is a very sad life because 4 people died, he said, tearfully, adding that he wished he had died rather than the 4 who did. During sentencing, the judge acknowledged that Aguilera didn't intend to harm anyone, but under guidelines set by the law, his sentence could be no less than 110 years. Quote, I accept and respect what the defendant has said, but he made a series of terrible decisions, reckless decisions, the judge said. Now, I'm going to stop there. According to what I've seen, and I've seen the video, because there is video of this, there was a passage she could have went to and for a runaway truck. He said that his brakes had went out. I haven't seen any proof of any inspection of his brakes. There hasn't been anything posted saying that his brakes did or didn't fail him. Still and again, 4 lives were lost. he was going over the speed limit. He was going 85 miles per hour. To me, that's negligence on his behalf. But that is not intent to kill, right? So what's your thoughts on this? Because, as I just said, there are petitions asking for clemency to not sentence this man for 110 years for something that was not intentional. Just like going back to the Potter case, the officer who shot and killed Dante Wright. You can be sentenced for negligence, but not found not guilty. You understand my point? You still have to pay a penalty for your negligence, but it shouldn't be like you intended to kill. There was no intent in both cases, in my opinion, but you have to be held responsible. Your thoughts first. In fact, if you don't mind, Janet, I'm going to ask, I'm going to go ahead and ask Tommy, what's your thought about this case?
I think you're right. He didn't have any intent to kill. You know, they should check. I mean, the evidence should show. And that just because you did a petition, you can't go by. You my think is that you swayed the jury. If you got them to do that, because how can you put a petition together that three? Well, how many people they say should kill him? That means they put him into. He should be in jail.
How many years they say
that.
He should be in jail? Well, with him, he's looking at 110 years based on what the state claims, that based on the charges that the prosecution brought, it adds up to 110 years. The judge even said, had he had control, he more than likely would not have given him that. But his hands are tied. He has to go with what the state says, what, you know, based on what the prosecution brought against him, it adds up to 110 years. And this guy is like 20-something years old, maybe 30. I mean, really, 110 years, yes, that's life. Even the members of the family, of the individuals who were killed in this accident had reached out to the judge, and the judge said that he never heard anyone say anything on the lines of he should do, you know, he should rot in jail or anything. They were really like praying for him for what happened. Now that says a lot.
Right.
They understand that this was not intentional. It was just an unfortunate situation. And some said, but he should still serve some time.
Now, can I say something? Michael?
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, during the trial, they mentioned, and you know, going through the mountains, they have the runaway truck ramps where if you're having an issue with brakes or anything, you can go in on those ramps and it will help your truck to stop. So if he was having problems with the brakes, he passed a ramp. He could have went on that ramp, but instead he crashed into a car. So
let me give you a hypothetical here. Let me give you a hypothetical. He's in the far left-hand lane. He's in the fast lane. This is hypothetical.
A big truck don't be in the fast lane.
Let me finish. Just listen for a minute. Let's say if he's there. But even then, he's a young guy. I don't know how long he's been driving trucks. I really don't know. And I'm going to take a look at that. Because we can go back and revisit this story again and over again. Because this probably is not the first time this has ever happened. But let's say, you know, he's in a panic. Let's say, I mean, because every defense is going to say, I'm speaking on his defense attorney's point of view, not on the prosecutor. So as a defense attorney, I'm going to say, well, let's say, you know, he's panicking. He's hitting his brakes. They're not reacting. He's plowing down the hill. He can't swerve over because there's probably a car there on the side, probably. So he can't swerve over to the right-hand side of the lane. Now, I've seen the video, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we can, I mean, and to be honest, we can Monday morning, I heard a person say Monday night quarterback, but on some other topic, but we can Monday morning quarterback on it. But I'm just saying, hypothetically, what if he couldn't get over to that side? What if there was a car on the side of him? He couldn't swerve all the way over. He could have killed that person in that car. But I'll look at the video again to make sure that I'm right.
Yeah, look at the video
maybe that might have been the scenario we have to take a look at. Now, but still and again.
I don't know how big the truck was. If it was one of those big tractor trailer trucks, it's not going to be
Janet, it was a big-ass truck. It was,
okay, so it
was
it
enough
would not
to
be
kill
on the
people?
Other side where it could go off a cliff.
Excuse me?
I've been through the mountains. It's not going to ride on the side where you can feel like you're going off a cliff. It's going to be on the side where those off-ramps are.
Janet, big rigs. Okay. I recommend that you go to YouTube.
I have family members who drive big rigs.
I'm not talking about that. Let me finish here. Look at the video. There is a video of it. Look at the video, and then after you look at it, then you can share your thoughts about it. Because if you haven't seen it, I've looked at it.
Well,
I'm
how
just
do you know
honest
if I
with
saw
you.
It, Michael? You don't
the
know what
is,
I
I'm
saw
I'm not debating if you saw it or not, and we're not going to do that on the show. But if you haven't seen it, I suggest that you look at it and then share your opinion on what
you
saw.
I suggest you go back
saw.
And look, too, because I shared my opinion.
Have you seen the video? Have you seen the video?
I shared my opinion, and that's my
opinion. Have you seen the video? Okay. So now I want to ask Timon, have you seen the video?
No,
do
I
you
haven't.
Know about the story? Okay.
I do know about the story,
I recommend
but I haven't seen the video.
Okay, so I recommend everybody look at the video because it shows the fire, it shows the aftermath, and it's heartbreaking that four people died. But the point I'm saying is this, is that I don't believe this young man or this individual should get 110 years for something that was negligent. Now, granted, again, I'll say, he probably could have went over to that emergency exit for runaway cars or trucks. Probably. But
that's what the prosecution
we don't know that
says.
That's what the prosecution says. And the thing is that where we have to look at the video. And the video is available. Is there any cars or any way that he was impeded to get to that point? And then again, I'll say again, put yourself in that situation. He's a truck driver. Of course, maybe he should have known that, hey, look, these things are down the roads in different states or on the side of a road here and there. What if he's not aware of that in that state? We don't know if he drives in Colorado on a regular basis, if he's aware of that. But we don't know. But we need to take a look at that. Still and again.
Any mountain area. But
Janet, I still go back to this. I still go back to the fact. Did he have easy access to get over, to get into that area? I don't know for a fact, and I'm going to go back and look at the video of what is available to say that could he have put somebody else's life in danger had he crossed over to the right and went down there? And it goes back to the point of panic. When you're hitting your brakes in your car, if you ever experienced that, because I know I have, I damn near hit a fucking cop, a damn cop county sheriff coming off the exit many years ago. I had a Volkswagen, and I hit my brakes, and it wasn't working. Almost rear-end an officer. And I had to pull my emergency brake, my parking brake. I know the feeling of panic. How the hell would it look if I rear-end a damn officer, my right-handed guy? That is a true story. So I don't know what his mindset was when he hit his brakes and couldn't stop. I can imagine, but it happens to people. And we cannot judge, and we should not judge, a person's reaction in a situation like that. Because your reaction may be different than mine. You may have the mindset of, oh, okay, yeah, here's a truck stop over here. I can pull over there and it'll stop me from sliding down the road. Not everybody thinks that way. Let's be realistic about this story. And going back to the fact, like I said, this man is being sentenced 110
years. Well, I was reading the article, and they said he did not. He had a chance to take the rent, and he chose not to. So
he what now?
Looked at the video.
No, wait, I'm sorry. I missed that. Hold on.
Truck driver.
Can you back up? Okay. Start again. I missed it.
The article states the truck driver had a chance to take the ramp. He chose not to. The runaway ramp. The ramp that causes the truck to slow down, to keep from going off the cliff or having a bad accident.
But they said a chance, right?
He had to take it, and he chose not to.
No.
That's
but no,
said.
The article, right, the article told you and told me, if I read the same article, he had a chance. So let me ask, Timon, what's your thoughts about that? And when an article tells you they had a chance, I mean, what expert can say that he had a chance based on what? Then again, as you said, you didn't see the video. Simon, you still there? Okay, so I think Simon is on mute or stepped away, but Jen, I understand what you're saying is that the article said he was innocent. Right, but see, that is after the fact when he was found guilty. So let's say let me finish. The thing is that where the police said that he had a chance to exit, right? That's what the police report says in the article, that he had a chance to exit. That's what the police report said. That's what found him guilty of the charges, okay? And you can agree with that. According to the prosecution and the police report, which the prosecution is going to look at the police report on scene, is that, well, he had an opportunity to go ahead and get to the emergency exit in a runaway truck or car. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm driving down a highway and I lose my brakes, I don't know where the hell an emergency exit is for me to stop from crashing into another car. Because I read an article that said they do exist on certain highways. But not everybody knows where they are, because you don't drive every highway every day. As a truck driver, there might be a sign that says that.
There,
if you pay attention.
I've seen signs showing before you even get to where the ramp is, that one is coming up. And this is going through like Virginia and places where there's a lot of mountain ranges. I have seen it. I've seen it.
I don't disagree with you. I've probably seen them too, you know, and I'm pretty sure I have. But have you ever thought you would ever have to use one? Or you ever thought about...
Only because I'm from upstate New York, and I had to drive in ice and below zero weather and a lot of snow.
That's understandable. But, Janet, there are a few in between. Okay, let's be realistic about this whole thing, and I'm going to get back to the story and move on to another one. Let's be realistic. If he passed one, let's say that he passed one and he didn't see the sign. I'm sure he's aware that they're available. As a truck driver, you should be aware if you have an issue. So we don't know the point in time that he hit his brakes, because according to the stories that I've read, there was an accident down the road which backed up the traffic, which slowed them up, and he was going, and I want folks to know that he was going at 85 miles per hour, okay, which is pretty much the norm for many vehicles on highways now, even though some signs say 70, but people definitely go way above the speed limit. But the point I'm trying to say is that if he was driving down the road, let's say he went past one of those, I mean, it's not at every exit, but all of a sudden, now he runs up on this backup because of an accident down the road. He goes to hit his brakes, and they're not working. Still, and again, I have not seen, which I'm going to say, or heard or read anything that shows as far as him examining the truck to see if his air brakes or whatever kind of truck he was driving were faulty. I haven't read that yet. And the thing is this, still and again, I don't think he intended, an airline pilot did, who crashed a damn plane, which they found proof that he did that intentionally, when you think about traveling. But this is a truck driver. 110 years, to me, is very extreme. Because, again, I go back to negligence. Based on intent, he did not intend to kill anybody. He could have killed himself.
I think it's extreme because he's a minority. He's Hispanic. The minority people normally get
look at the fact that 3.2 million people have signed a petition for clemency.
Agreed that 110 years is a lot, but guilty is guilty.
Right. And it goes back to, you know, as I just said, right. He did kill four people. And I'm not trying to debate that. The point I'm saying is that at what point do we look at the penalty fits the crime? Because for years, it's never been equal. And right here is a prime example. There are people out here who have killed folks. In fact, we just talked about it last week. The woman who tried to kill her husband one time by poisoning him, failed at that, turned around, got her boyfriend to shoot him. Or then again, the court don't even know who really killed him, who pulled the trigger. But they're both going to jail, all right, evidence against the girlfriend. Girlfriend was married to the guy, the snake breeder story, who was about to make $1 million+ on selling to sell his whole business. He winds up dead. The boyfriend makes a plea deal. She goes to court. The jury sentences her or gives her the lightest thing. She could have done 30-something years. She's going to spend 16 years for murder. 16 freaking years. This man, this woman tried to kill her husband once by poisoning him. That was proven.
then she actually did with her boyfriend. She actually killed her husband with the assistance of her boyfriend and only going to spend 16 years. If that, she might get off. But here's a man whose negligence, he didn't plan. She planned not once, two times to kill her husband. But this guy is driving a freaking truck. Unfortunately, four people died in the crash. And he's given 110 years. That shit don't make no damn sense. I'm just being honest. And now let's look at some other things. Let's look at some other things that don't make no damn sense. I mean, everybody should pay a penalty for negligence. And for everybody who's listening, understand the word negligence. You neglected. You didn't think about it. You didn't do it intentionally. You just didn't use the right side of your brain. And unfortunately, someone died. I've seen stories where a guy attacked a guy and the guy punched the guy. And when the guy hit the ground, he hit his head and died. A black man punches a man who's attacking him, and the man dies. The man who was defending himself winds up going to prison for involuntary manslaughter. He didn't know that man's head was going to hit the concrete that way at that angle at that point in time. That would take his life. He didn't know that. He was just defending himself. I mean, really look at it. And what frustrates me is that when I see cases with officers like Officer Potter, who made a mistake, allegedly, pulled her gun instead of her taser. But during the testimony is that, you know, officers at a higher, I mean, they're at a higher expectation for their training. She went through all the training, but she missed a lot of things she was supposed to do prior to going on ship. And if you actually, you know, try to curb your responsibility, obviously something's going to go wrong. She never did a test on her firearm. Meaning, when I say a firearm, I'm talking about her taser. She never did a spark test, as they said, like four or five times prior to the incident with the murder of Duante Wright. She admitted that. Why did you stop doing that? Had you kept doing that, maybe that would have never happened. So the thing is, what I'm saying is that we're, you know, you can't make excuses for some folks and penalize others that are still guilty of negligence. You still have to pay the cost.
All I saw with Potter was a replay of Kyle Rittenhouse with the emotion, the crying, had her dressed up like a grandma, you know, trying to play that same thing, that same defense that Kyle off because it was in the judge, he was in the judge's favor. But what I feel, what I understand is this lady had all those years of experience. And she was training one. So when you're going to train, you're going to train the person the right way. You're going to cross those T's and dot those I's. You don't want to make any mistakes
exactly.
Because you want to make sure when you release them, they are doing the right thing.
Right. I want to check and see.
And
if
there's
if,
no way.
I want to check and see.
A gun is a taser.
I want to check and see if timing is still with the timing. You still there? Okay.
Well, you know, timing a lot of times have to leave for the second half anyway.
I know. Yeah, I know. He's across every network, so time stays very busy. But okay, so I still want to go on with what I had planned on doing here. The time is now 7:38. We have a little bit over 20 minutes left to discuss certain things. But, all right, so, again, my point is about the negligence that has happened in these cases. I hope that regardless, you know, all of us are accountable for what we do. And you can say, oh, I'm sorry. Sorry doesn't get it. As I said earlier, according to every state, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Okay? It's no excuse. Unfortunately, we're not going to get to every topic, but I want to pull up another story here. Years here. Another one. And Janet, thanks for pulling up all these other ones, but we're going to look into them the following, actually, when we get into the new year. Do you guys know that you could be arrested by law enforcement for DUI and not even be under the influence? You really can. See, there's the drug whisperer. Drivers arrested while stone cold sober. I'm going to read a little bit of this. Drunk driving arrests are down sharply after decades of aggressive enforcement, while drug driving arrests are climbing. Georgia now has more than 250 officers with special, quote, drug recognition expert training. But 11 Live News chief investigator Brandon Keith discovered some drivers are getting arrested for driving stone, even when their drug test came back clean. Here's a little bit tit for tat here. Caitlin Ebner was arrested after she left her job as a server at a bar in Cobb County. The Cobb County police officer, T.T. Carroll, said you haven't had anything to drink? Caitlin says, not tonight, no. Officer Carroll, not tonight, okay. One of the things we do is we ask people to blow through this thing, okay? Caitlin Ebner crossed the center line and got pulled over on the way home from work. She works in a bar and does not drink while at work. Officer Carroll, blow real hard till I ask you to stop. Keep going. Now, I don't know why my phone is acting crazy. It keeps skipping back and everything. But the whole thing is that what had occurred. Oh, okay, here it is. Keep going. Okay, so the officer asked when was the last time she smoked marijuana. She said, I don't do that. I can give you a drug test right now. The officer says, you don't smoke marijuana? She says, I do not, no. The officer says, okay, well, you're showing me indicators that you have been smoking marijuana, okay? So then, it says, I didn't realize that you could get arrested for smoking that you didn't do, Ebner told Keith. That never crossed my mind until it happened to me. This is what she's saying in the interview. The officer, Carol, says, "Watch your wrist for me. I don't want to pinch you." Caitlin Everett says, "I'm going to jail for marijuana." Officer Carol, "No, ma'am. Not possession unless I find any in your car. I believe you're impaired by the marijuana you smoke." Okay. Caitlin says, "Okay, so when I do a drug test, I'll be free to go, correct?" Officer Carol, "You're going to jail, ma'am, okay?" I don't know why my phone is acting crazy. Okay, "I don't have a magical drug test that I can give you right now." Now, here's the thing I want to get to, because we only have 15 minutes. There are actually officers allegedly trained here in Cobb County, Georgia. But for you listeners in other states, there might be some in your state that even if you do the drug test, they're allegedly trained to determine whether you're under the influence of anything.
Right.
Whether it be marijuana, alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
If blowing into the, you know, because I've seen a lot of shows where they can take your blood, you know, well, not normally on the site, but some can in some states, but they can actually have you blow into something or look at whatever you have, you know. Normally I've seen where they can see if you actually have the drugs on you, they can test it and shake it and swab it and this and the other. But to have an officer who can have you go through the procedures, blow into the straw or whatever, and still say, "You're under the influence, I have a sense that you're impaired," is really scary. To me, it is. The reason why, but the reason why is because here you have to defend yourself. And many of these individuals, which we're going to continue to discuss this, many of these individuals, after a toxicology test, were found negative. But look at the money they have to spend to get the hell out of jail, get their car out of impound, because they're going to impound your car. Look at how much effect it has on their family and their everyday, their job. Imagine you get arrested. You've been out having a good time and everything. You're not intoxicated. Now you go to jail. Supposed to have been at work in the morning. Now you're going to explain that to your employer. Uh-huh. You got arrested for what? DUI? You were drunk? No, I wasn't drunk. I don't drink. Now you got to explain to people just the inconvenience just to find out you're innocent. But it has a major effect for months and sometimes years.
This lady lost her license. She lost her license for serving alcohol because that was her job. She spent the night in jail. And even after 4 months of going through this, they finally dropped the charges because the blood test came back clean. So she got arrested and got all these months against her and then took 4 months for them to clear it up. So, but in the meantime, she lost her job, you know. She had to probably pay for a lawyer. They didn't take any of that into consideration.
Exactly.
But they're trying to train these guys to be able to do a blood test right away if they stop somebody and they're impaired.
Mm-hmm.
Be prepared, because this incident was Georgia. It happened in Georgia. From that
article. And not just to, but not just one individual. It happened to several. Now, granted, they say that the program has been 85% successful.
But what about the other 15? And the life-altering situations for those 15 people that have to prove their innocence and have probably lost their jobs, as you just said, lost their jobs, spent money to prove their innocence. You know, what gets me is that
bullshit about you're innocent until proven guilty is bullshit. You are guilty from the moment you stopped, in most cases. You are guilty from the moment you have been stopped until you go to court and prove your innocence. I mean, you guys think about it. And the reason why I want to bring that up this evening before we get off here, I want to make sure, Janet, that we talked about that, because we're going to definitely revisit a lot of these stories. Because it being the holiday season, officers are out there looking for, you know, anyone that is crossing the line. You know, be careful. Set your cell phone down. Don't get on your damn cell phone. Don't look at your television. Don't look at, you know what I'm saying? Don't get distracted and set yourself up for something you definitely are not aware of. Because you might reach for something, get to your destination. If you drop something on the floor of your car, I remember, and this is the honest to God's truth, I remember many, many years ago, back when I was a young man, a friend of mine, and God bless his soul, he's passed, but we were going out to party one night, and that was during the gas rations. You guys remember that back in the 70s? And we waited in the line. This night, and he dropped an unlit cigarette on the floor of the car and reached down to pick it up. And there was a car stopped in front of us. And we rear-ended that car. Thank God we weren't injured bad at all. And that was before airbags and everything, you know. Rear-ended the car. But then the car underneath the hood started to catch on fire. These guys out of nowhere pulled over with fire extinguishers and started putting out the fire. Now, this was years ago, before airbags. The simplest thing that you do, like dropping something on the floor, wait and pull over. Don't reach for it while you're driving. Don't weave, because unfortunately there might be an officer behind you that sees you reaching down, thinking that you're trying to hide something, or that you're doing something illegal, or that you're under the influence, that you're intoxicated. And the first thing officers are trained to do, is to assume the worst, right? You are automatically a criminal. The moment you do something, you are automatically a criminal. You're not just an everyday person. Oh, well, maybe they're having a problem. They might have dropped something and trying to pick it up, and that's why they weed. They're not thinking like that. Hell no, they're thinking, oh, I need to run their license. They might be wanted. They might be a murderer. They're thinking the worst possible thing about you because they're trained that way. They're trained to be aware of the worst possible scenario. So during the holiday seasons, be careful. Don't make sudden movements. You know, keep your eye on the road. Get home safely. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We have roughly 8 minutes left. I really wanted to go to another topic, but we don't have enough time. But I mean, don't you agree, Janet? Hey, Christmas is next Saturday. There's going to be a lot of folks out on the road, and a lot of folks don't know about these drug whisperers, as you put it, and that's what they are. They exist not only in Georgia. They exist in a lot of other states, which I looked at, that even though you walk the line straight and you touch your nose and you lean your head back and follow the pen and all that type of crap that they do, you can still go to jail. Correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Ain't that amazing? All right, so quickly, with our few minutes left, we're not going to be on next Saturday because, of course, next Saturday is Christmas. Now, I might go ahead and upload something. I'm working on it and just play some Christmas music for maybe an hour or two. I may go on live and just play some Christmas music. My schedule is always open, whatever I want to do regarding the show. But what's your plan for Christmas Day? You spending, of course, Christmas with your family?
Yes, we have a big Christmas dinner. Family coming from out of town. A lot of people getting together, friends, to open up presents and have drinks and a good meal and some entertainment. You know, the kids like to sing and dance, the little children. They put a good show on every year. I look forward to it. One of the things that was requested of me was to make beef tips and gravy.
Oh, okay.
It'll probably be something else besides that. I'm surprised they didn't ask for macaroni and cheese.
Well, you know, that's normally a staple.
I put 14 cheeses in my macaroni.
Right, you told me about that. But that's normally a staple is macaroni and cheese for the holidays. That's normally a staple for most folks. I'm not going to say for everybody, you know, but that's fantastic.
But I make mine a little bit richer. I put more oomph in it. It's different. It's different.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to learn your recipe. Now, I know you're going to share it. But, hey, we only have about 5 minutes left. Next Saturday, like I said, I'm looking at probably doing some music things and probably not 2 hours, but just, you know me, I just don't want an empty slot on a Saturday for the TMGS. I always want us to have something to share. But the week after that, which is New Year's, we will be on air New Year's Day. Right. Yeah, that would be New Year's Day. We will definitely have a show. And I was just looking at the calendar. Go ahead. You were going to speak?
I might not be there for New Year's Day.
No problem. No problem. But we're still going to do a broadcast on New Year's Day, just like for Christmas. We're going to still post something. So for all of you guys that are listening, we're not going to probably be on for 2 hours, but it might be just some Christmas music, New Year's Day. We might chime in everything because I do understand that all the co-hosts, the guests and everything, it's the holiday season. Not many people are trying to do any conversation this time of year. I've experienced that over the years. A lot of the artists are probably going to be with their families and or making money doing shows. If you take a look, there's a lot of individuals who will be performing live at different locations on New Year's and New Year's Eve. And then coming up is going to be Valentine's. So there's a lot of artists that are booking shows or going to be doing shows during the holidays. And that's a great thing that we're back to live performances, right?
Yes, indeed.
That we're back to, you know, so I'm glad to see that happen. And with that being said, we only have 3 minutes left. I want to thank Time and Ship, you know, the one and only Time and in California, L.A., to be exact, for chiming in, one of the great co-hosts here. People ask me about the co-hosts. I'm going to say this. Talk to Bernie Jones. Bernie set up, you know, right now he's working through some things, and he's going to be rejoining us soon. Also, Denise L. Wilkerson. I'm so happy for the legendary Ladies of Fun, because they are definitely doing their thing, and they're booked up a lot, and that's good. They're getting booked a lot and doing a lot of holiday shows, or a lot of bookings this year. Definitely, she has said that she will be rejoining us the first of the year, so you guys look out for all that, okay? And you know, I'm just thinking over certain things that I want to make sure that we accomplished in 2022. Thanks to Janet Davis. Janet, love you very much. Again, I know you had your birthday last week, but happy birthday. God bless you. I so much appreciate you and all of the Team GS family. And Janet has been here ever since the beginning, and I'm just so grateful. All of you guys, have a very Merry Christmas. We'll see you in 2022 if we don't see you beforehand. God bless and peace. Now I got to go ahead and find my closing thing.
Michael, say again who did your opening and your closing.
Say that again.
Who wrote your opening and closing?
Oh, you know what's so funny? The last one was by Joe Foxworth, former keyboard player and vocalist for the group Ozone on the Motown record label. And I've known Joe for years, back in my junior high days. He's older than I am, but I've known Joe for years. He had a group called Trade Winds that when I was in junior high, he was in high school, and when his band was booked to play at a convention at my junior high, the little girls were going crazy, right? They were the hot group, right? But Joe went on to be a member of Ozone, like I said, on the Motown label. The theme song that you probably, well, of course, everybody remembers with the vocal, "Ooh, all right, oh, babe, it's the Michael Kay Show." That was done by Darren Durst, also a member of the group Ozone. He was a guitarist on the Motown label. Well, I'm going to start switching up. But the very first one was done by a young man who was only 18 at the time who offered me this. And he actually he wrote it and gave it to me, which was Maestro Mike Live thing. That's what it was called. And it was by a young man named Ricky Reed. And so I'm going to start mixing them up. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to start playing one or the other. How does that sound?
Mm.
I'm going to start mixing up the theme.
Sounds okay, but I like the last one the best. It gives you it's really got a lot going on. Like when you were talking about funk for the 3TOB band, I forgot his name. Anyway, the music is, it really has a good beat to it. The last, I liked all three, but this last one I really like. I meant to ask you at the beginning of the show.
Okay. Let me see if I got the right one up, and let's see if this is right. Yeah, that's it. That's from Darren Bird, former member of Ozone.
No, That's second one.
That's not the right one?
No, the first, no, that wasn't the one. The Fox version.
Wait a minute. You talking about the original
Fox
one?
Well, that's
I
the one
know, I told you. I like the last one.
Okay, that's the one. Okay, that's the one that I play now, right? The one by Foxworth that you hear now, right? Okay,
yeah,
so here, okay, so hold on. Here's the original thing, right here. Okay, that was the original.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Okay.
That's
the original. Okay. Then here's the one from Darren Durst. All right. You heard that one, right? That was the second one. So, you like the new version, the new theme, right?
The last one, yes.
Right, okay. Which is called Conversation Piece. Hold on a minute. Let me see if I can pull that up, and then we'll get out of here. But heck, why my phone acting crazy? Oh, here it is. Conversation. All right, so this is the one you're talking about. That's the
yeah.
one?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I love that, too. And you know what's so crazy is that where he wrote that song and he had not released it, and he said, man, I got a song for your show, and I'm glad that he let it be the official theme song for TMCS. So thank
Definitely.
You, Joe Fox.
Yeah, it's better than all the others. It sounds like a conversation piece.
Well, I'm not going to say it's better than all the others because I don't want to disrespect the other ones.
It's not
this. But it definitely updates and up temples, you know, the show in the direction that we're going and that we look at doing. So, yeah, it was perfect timing, and I truly appreciate Joe Foster for giving me that song. A lot of folks say, it's a long intro. I'm like, well, if you guys remember back when we first became the host and co-host of the Cool Critics, there was a song by Anthony A.K. King that was hell of a lot longer than this, okay? So, and I was told, make sure you play that whole thing. You remember that, Janet? You know, to play the whole
song.
Intro. Right. And I never knew the title of the damn song. But anyway, we're going to get on out of here. Thank you guys for tuning in to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, my co-host, Janet Davis. And also, thanks to Time and Ship, another co-host. Hey, you guys, enjoy the holidays. I wish the holidays were every day and not just on particular days. I really do. I wish that we would take the joy and the spirit that we celebrate and that we share with each other on these particular days every day of the week. It would just be amazing if that was possible and not just look at one time of the year. You think about it, one time of the year, we go out, we spend money. One time of the year, we may say, God bless you. One time of the year, we may say, Merry Christmas. One time of the year, we may get together with family and friends. But shouldn't that be every day of the year to make those things possible and strive towards
that happiness that we feel like we can only share with each other one time of the year. Think about it. It's very important, at least to me. God bless you guys. Janet, you have anything to say before we go?
Yes. Everybody have a good week, and please read the January 6th Commission PowerPoint presentation.
All right.
It will
Okay, TMGS, next Saturday, Christmas music, and then come 2022. We're going to be looking forward to hearing you here on The Michael Gay Show. God bless you guys. Stay safe out there. We'll see you next year. Peace.
Good night.
Now I don't want to play. I'm hitting play and I don't want to play. I don't know why. Here it goes. Good night.